perfect Father, God, and that we can come to you with anything and everything, God, and you meet our needs according to your perfect will. Lord, I thank you for everyone here this morning with us in person and online. Lord, I pray that you would bless them and meet their needs. Lord, I thank you for the tithes and offerings that have been given. Lord, we ask a blessing upon them. We ask that you would multiply them and that you would give the Board of Directors wisdom as they allocate these funds, that they would do so according to your will, for your glory and honor, in Jesus' name, amen.
Yay!
Come on. All right, well, we have been singing about the perfect Father and all of that, and I'll tell you what happened in my house. Well, yesterday, you know, preparing for a gathering of my children at home, so we got a good roast, and last night, as instructed by my wife, took it out, you know, got everything poked, seasoned, with all kind of seasoning, and put it in the right place. And then I wanted to make sure that I would program the oven so that it would turn on at the right time, at the right temperature, for the proper period of length that the weight of the roast would require. So we went to bed, and then early this morning I got up, realized that there were still some items that we didn't have, and my wife was not feeling very good, so I went to Walmart very early in the morning, got the supplies, got by 7 to make sure that that oven turned on at the right time and got to the proper temperature. And so I was so focused on the oven, and it ran for 2 hours before we realized that the roast was not in it. Needless to say, we are not having a roast for lunch. Dad messed up. Of course, my wife would open the refrigerator, see the roast in the proper container, and push it to the side while she got the milk or whatever else. And then finally at 9 o'clock, it was so obvious. She said, it's here still. So there was a cry of panic in my house at 9 o'clock. And so a steak I would come to the rescue with chicken. As you know, we as pastors, we attend and conduct many types of services. And many times, the less likely one of our choice is funerals. And at funerals of where there have been older men that have passed away, I have seen one or more of the adult children carrying grievances against their deceased fathers for something that they did some time ago, or for something that they didn't get to do, that they tried and failed miserably. And we hear, you know, especially after all the ceremony, they come to us and say, you know, you spoke of Father as perfect, but I know he wasn't, blah, blah, blah. And, you know, you can tell the resentment. My wife touched on that already. I think she read my script. And, no, actually it was the Holy Spirit just getting us in the mood. My main message today is we need to forgive our Father. He is or was human. He made mistakes. Amen. Yep. Who among us have not made mistakes? So are we going to punish him forever? Do we like to be punished forever for our mistakes? Listen, we want our children to forgive us. Therefore, we got to forgive our fathers. On the cross, the Lord Jesus looked at his executioners, the way they surrounded him, the way they did all the things that they did on him. And in Luke chapter 23, verse 34, Jesus said, Father, forgive them. That was a prayer from him to the Father. Forgive them. They don't know what they do. If you have something against your earthly father, I plead with you, forgive him. You know, he may have done it on purpose, or he may not have known what he was doing. You know, there's an opportunity for both circumstances. But in either case, you need to forgive. It's not about him. It's about you. You see, when we hold forgiveness, we become a prisoner. Not them. We become prisoners. So here's some reasons to forgive your father. First of all, as we mentioned, he's human. That means he's bound to fail and be far from perfect. But who of us is perfect? None of us. According to Romans 3:23, we have all sinned, all of us, and have come short of the glory of God. David wrote in Psalms 103, talking about the Father, for he knows our frame. He remembers that we are dust. We're very imperfect creatures. Now, he created us perfect, but we chose imperfection. You and I are very imperfect. That means two things. If we are imperfect, then we're a lot like our father, our earthly father, as far as being imperfect. He was imperfect, or he is imperfect, and so are we. And being human, we will require an extra dose of God's grace to be able to forgive our dads. Listen, your father is a product of a fallen world and very imperfect parents himself. It's easy to think that your father chose to become, well, you name it, alcoholic, a lazy bum, a party animal, you know, whatever. And so you tend to hold him totally responsible. He did it on purpose. Remember that he was once a child too. And only God knows to what extent he became whatever he was because of his parents' failures, because of the failure of the school system that taught him wrong things, the friends that he hung around, and many other influences. You see, we need to extend mercy to our Father because we will eventually want mercy ourselves. Therefore, show mercy so that you can receive mercy. In Matthew 6, Jesus was teaching his disciples how to pray, and he said this part in Matthew 6:12, and forgive us our debt as we forgive our debtors. We want people to forgive us. We need to initiate that ourselves by forgiving others, especially your father. Forgiveness opens the grace channel, the grace from God. Resentment, it clogs it up and shut off the daily supply of grace that God gives because you and I need it continually. Someone wrote some time ago, and he said, forgiveness is ultimately an act of the will, not a stirring of the emotions. For a Christ follower, it is a choice to obey God and let it go. This is an inward choice that produces a declaration given, a promise spoken. I forgive you. When I speak these words, I declare that the issue between us is dead and buried. I will no longer rehearse it. I will no longer review it or renew it. When that subject comes to my mind again, I will take it to the Lord and to the foot of the cross, not to my offender. Now, there was this 8-year-old girl who told her grandfather how her mother had been teaching her about childbirth. And the girl told her grandpa, "I'm not going to have children, grandpa," she announced. "It hurts too bad." The first thought grandpa wanted to tell her was that if her mother had felt that way, she would have not been born. And if her great-grandmothers had felt that way, none of us would be here. But after that, he then said, "Yes, it does hurt. But the pain goes away, and you're left with this beautiful child, and you decide that it was worth it." The granddaughter looked at her grandpa in the eye and said, "You're a man. What do you know?" That little girl was exactly right. Everything men know on this subject of childbearing, we learn from the women of our lives or from the readings that we've done. "You're a man. What do you know?" That's a great question for us men, isn't it? What do we as men know? Well, probably more accurate, what we should know. Real men should know some things, to include some of the followings. Didn't show up. Okay, first of all, real men need to know who I am. The man who does not know who he is will be forever trying to find out and to prove to himself that he is a man. And very often, in many unhealthy ways. Have you seen grown men that never grew up emotionally? They're trying to prove themselves. We're a fallen man, living in a fallen world. And you know what? We have messed up in the past. But the funny thing is, we really can't do anything about our past. We can't go back there and change it. Back to the future is not really true. But we can do something about our future. Amen. And God is ready to help us create a better future. But we have to ask him. So you have to go on before God and ask him, and then allow him to guide us and help us. It's all up to us to listen to him and then to follow his instruction, because he wants our best. The second thing is, first is who I am, then whose I am. Am I accountable to anyone? Or am I the lone ranger? Am I on my own in this world? The man who knows he is a creation of Almighty God and the redeemed of a loving Savior is very likely to have a different kind of life from one who doesn't know. So you need to know, who do you belong to first and foremost? Thirdly, what am I here for? We need to know our role in life, whatever that is. And it's going to be different for every single man here. Why were we put on earth? You know, we ask ourselves that question. Why is our purpose? What is our mission? Is it to find myself If it's to express myself, is it to fulfill myself? Or am I here for a higher, nobler cause or purpose? And finally, where am I going? You know, I love the testimony of Job, the biblical character in the Old Testament. He was going through a lot of pain, very physical, emotional, very distraught. But in the midst of his pain and suffering, in the darkness of his soul's depression, still his faith was intact. He called out, okay, there you go. In Job 19, verse 25, he declared, "For I know that my Redeemer lives." Now he was full of sores. His children had been killed. He had lost everything that he had. And he was down in the dumps, as we say. And he still declared, "I know that my Redeemer lives, and he shall stand at last on the earth. And after my skin is destroyed, this I know, that in my flesh I shall see God, whom I shall see for myself, and my eyes shall behold, and not another. How my heart yearns within me." Now this is a man in the lowest of his lowest, and he never lost faith. He knew who he was. He knew whose he was. And he knew his purpose in life. In the last writings we have from the Apostle Paul, he wrote this with his own handwriting. He testified in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 12. He says, "For I know whom I have believed, and I am persuaded that he is able to keep what I have committed unto him until that day." See, Paul was assured of that. If you read Paul's life, man, he went through a lot of suffering, and yet his testimony stood strong and steadfast. So men, what do you know? And what that knowing, what kind of difference has it made in your life? If you don't know the answer to those questions I just showed in light of Scripture, then not only your future is in jeopardy, but your future generation's character and destiny are at jeopardy as well. You see, in Proverbs chapter 13, the Lord tells us, "A good man leaves an inheritance to his children's children." Hallelujah. You and I want to leave a good inheritance to your posterity. And the best legacy that you can leave them is a legacy of your godly character, so that they can emulate, they can mimic, they can follow and pattern themselves after. As a godly dad, we need to plant seeds of faith in your children, so that they will come to know who they are in Christ. The key to becoming a godly dad is to know that your identity doesn't rest on what people say in Facebook or wherever else. Your identity rests in Jesus. And your purpose is to teach your kids their identity in him as well. Becoming the godly father that God designed you to be is a process. It's not a sprint. It is a marathon. And many of us wish that we could get a pill and get changed. No, it doesn't happen that way. And by the way, it's not anything about being perfect. It is about inviting the Lord to help you grow in Him. How about if you decide today to change and become the dad that the Lord designed you to be? One step at a time. You have to make that first step, though. That first step, if you have not given your life to the Lord Jesus Christ, that is number one step. But if you have done that step already, then do it again. And this time with a new resolve to change for good. Jesus is here for you to help you carry out that decision until that decision is fulfilled in each one of you men. Father, I thank you for the way that you have created us. Father, you gave us a plan. You gave us a task. You gave us a purpose. And Father, you knew that we couldn't do that on our own. As you sent Jesus. And Jesus exemplified you on earth to each one of us. And when Jesus went up with you, you sent the Holy Spirit to teach us and to guide us. And I pray, Father, today, for every one of us fathers, especially in this day, Lord, we want to honor you as our Heavenly Father. But Father, I ask you to help us become the earthly Father that you have called us to be. Father, strengthen us when we are frustrated, when we are ready to give up. Father, when we are just downcast and discouraged. Father, remind us of who you have made us to be, that we can stand up strong and realize that you are here with us every step of the way, that you want our best and you want us to create a legacy for those that stay behind us as our children and grandchildren. Father, help us to grow in character. Father, so that that character can be exemplified for our children to emulate. We thank you, Father, that you have given us the example of Jesus. Help us to become like him. And Father, we thank you for all that you have for us, for all that you provided for us. And thank you for the victory that Jesus has already won for each one of us. I bless all the fathers, and I thank you, Heavenly Father, for that in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's worship.